podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Broken contracts, broken trust, broken reputations, broken marriages, broken homes, broken hearts, broken lives, broken dreams. Do you realize that much of the brokenness that we experience in life is due to unfaithfulness? When people say that they're going to come through, but they don't. When a man and woman say, "I do," but later on they determine that they really don't. When a signature on a piece of paper means absolutely nothing. When a handshake, a look in the eye, and a promise disintegrates. When it is all just empty, just words. That's unfaithfulness. You know, much of the disappointment that we experience in life is due to unfaithfulness. The unfaithfulness of others, but yes, if we were honest, our own unfaithfulness too. For relationships to work in this world, trust is required. But where there is unfaithfulness, there's a breakdown of trust. And relationships break down. And lives break down. Let's turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 51. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 51. That's page 701 in your pew Bible. Just follow along as I read. Matthew 24, 36 to 51. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch, and he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Father, help us to understand the need for faithfulness, especially in a world where there's so much unfaithfulness, and in a world where you have promised that you are returning soon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing we know when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness is this, that we have a God who is faithful. So we just need to watch how God works in this world to understand what faithfulness is. So let's look at a couple of verses that talk about the faithfulness of our God, who he is, and what the Word of God says about him. First of all, 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful." He is faithful. And you may look at that verse and say, well, that just demonstrates a truth in words. But it also demonstrates that truth with proof that God was faithful enough to send his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and to draw us into fellowship with him. And that is the faithfulness of our God, that he did not just allow us to wallow in our sin and to fall away, but he was faithful to us and pulled us in through his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." God is a keeper of his promises throughout the generations. He has never not come through on one of his promises. God is faithful. As the hymn writer wrote, there is no shadow of turning with him. You know, that hymn writer, Thomas Chisholm, was born in a log cabin in Kentucky and worked most of his days as an insurance salesman in New Jersey. See, he was backwards. He went from the south to the north. So he didn't learn you're supposed to go from New Jersey and then come to the south. He had it backwards. But anyway, he spent most of his life selling insurance in New Jersey. When he was 57 years old, he was impressed by this passage of Scripture that he read. And as he read the passage, he was struck by the words, "Great is thy faithfulness." And he wrote a poem, which later became a hymn, one of the most beloved hymns of the church. Well, what passage of Scripture was it that prompted Thomas Chisholm to write this famous poem? You might expect it to be one of the Psalms of David, perhaps after David had won some battle, that God had come through for him on the battlefield and he had been victorious. Or you might expect it to be maybe be the words of Abraham as he was coming off of the mountain because there was a ram that was in the thicket that God had provided so that he did not have to sacrifice his son Isaac because there was a substitute. Maybe it was a verse like that. Or maybe this verse that Thomas Chisholm read came from the pen of Moses, who, after the Israelites miraculously crossed the Red Sea, perhaps Moses reflected on it, and those were the words that Thomas Chisholm wrote that gave us, "Great is thy faithfulness." You know, all of those contexts would be great choices. However, the verse actually came from the book of Lamentations, the words of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah's words were written not on the occasion of some great victory or a great miracle of God, but the words of Jeremiah written there in Lamentations were written after Jerusalem had been ransacked by the Babylonians, after the temple had been desecrated and demolished, and the smoke was still rising out of the rubble of Jerusalem, and these words were written by the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." What's inspiring about those verses is that in the midst of this tremendous disappointment that the city of God, Jerusalem, that God had promised he would protect unless the people turned away from him, that city had now been completely demolished. And Jeremiah, the prophet, who had been warning them that this was going to occur, sat there and looked at the rubble. And he was disappointed and downtrodden. Everything was lost. That's why they call him the weeping prophet. And yet he came out with these words, "Great is your faithfulness." And so those were the words that impressed Thomas Chisholm, and he wrote that beautiful hymn that we sing so often in the church. Even when it seems like God has left you for good and everything in your life is broken, he is still faithful. He is still there. He is still keeping his promises. Even on Friday, as the sun is going down and Jesus has died and been taken off of the cross and is being laid in the tomb, even on that Friday, God is still faithful because Sunday is coming and he will arise from the dead, proving the power and the promise keeping of our God. No matter where you find yourself, God is faithful. His promises are sure, and his word is as good as gold. So have you noticed that as we have been studying the fruit of the Spirit together, that each one of these fruits of the Spirit that we have looked at has been perfectly characterized by God himself? Have you noticed that? That if we want to understand what the fruit of the Spirit means and what love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness, all of these, if we want to understand what these things look like, we go first of all to God because He is the one who personifies these beautiful fruits perfectly. God is love. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. God is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish. It is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. God is good, and everything that he does is good. And of course, God is faithful. And this makes sense because Paul in Galatians chapter 5 calls this fruit the fruit of the Spirit. This is not fruit that is natural to us as human beings or as sinners, but it's a fruit that is produced by the Spirit of God who is living in our lives. God is faithful. His Holy Spirit is faithful. And we can all look and recognize that as believers we have this faithful Spirit, the Spirit of God living within us, who wants desires nothing more than for his faithfulness to spring from our lives in beautiful, vibrant, tasty, fruitful colors. He wants us to be faithful as he is faithful. In all of our attitudes and in all of our actions, he wants us to be faithful. So what does that look like? What would it look like for you to be faithful, for the Spirit of God to erupt in your life and for faithfulness to dominate who you are and what you do? Well, one thing we know is that the faithful live consistently. The faithful live consistently. Now, I understand that it's possible for someone to be consistently bad. I play a lot of golf, so I understand how that works. It is very possible to be consistently awful. However, what I'm talking about here is being consistently and predictably godly in your attitudes and in your actions in life. Faithfulness means that you live out consistently a pattern of reliability, that people can trust in you. I know that we can all point to times in our life when we've done the right thing, and we can look at those times and say, look, I was faithful here, I was faithful here. But consistency means that it's always faithful all the time. The Spirit is living within us and causing us to be reliable and consistent and faithful. It means that you put together moments and moments of faithfulness that become hours of faithfulness, that become days of faithfulness, that become years of faithfulness, that eventually become a lifestyle of faithfulness. That is what it means to be consistent. The passage we read in this Gospel of Matthew contains the words of Jesus, and he was warning his disciples that his second coming was going to come at an unexpected time. It was not a time when they were going to be looking for it or waiting for it. It would come at an unexpected time, and that they should be prepared. And the way that he got this message across is by talking, first of all, about the days of Noah. And he said, before the rain even began to fall, before the flood occurred, folks were just going about their lives, doing whatever came naturally. They were just living their lives, as everybody lives their life, without any thought of what was about to come, of what they had been warned about. What if they had known what was about to happen? What if they had believed what was about to happen? They perhaps would have been prepared. Would it have made a difference? Well, Jesus also talks about these two men in a field, and as they're working together, one of them suddenly disappears as he is taken up by God. We are also told about two women who are grinding. They're just going about their everyday work, and one of them disappears, is taken up by the Lord. Yet two of them were left behind. They were unprepared for Christ's return. Jesus also talks about this man whose house is robbed. And he didn't know, of course, what time the thief was coming, because a good thief doesn't tell you what time he's coming. And so this man, if he had known what time the thief was coming, perhaps he would have been prepared for the thief's arrival. But he wasn't prepared. And then Jesus says, who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. So Jesus gives us this contrast between a faithful servant and an unfaithful servant. The faithful servant is the one who continues to please God and live for God and do right in his life consistently, expecting that Christ could return at any moment. The unfaithful servant says, you know what? My master's gone. He's left for a long trip. I don't know when he's coming back. So I'm going to leave the yard unmowed. I'm going to leave the garden unweeded. I'm going to go out and get drunk with the boys. I'm going to leave the house covered with dust. The bills are going to be unpaid. The servants who work in the house aren't going to have anything to eat because I don't even know when my master's coming home, so I'll just leave things the way that they are, and that is the unfaithful servant. He will find himself in an extremely embarrassing situation when the master returns. Now contrast that with the faithful, wise steward. This faithful steward keeps the house up for the entire time that the master is away. He cares for the property. He treats the servants properly so that when the owner returns, everything is in order, everything's in place, just the way he told him that it would be left, even better than when the owner of the property had left for the trip. Faithfulness means consistently doing what is right so that you will never be caught unprepared for the return of the Lord. It means living according to your word. It means keeping your promises. The faithful keep promises. The Holy Spirit who lives within you is a God of His word. He keeps promises. He always keeps His promises. His word will never pass away. You can rely always on His promises. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 4. I don't have this on a slide, but Romans chapter 4, we're told this information about Abraham. And in Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 8, verse 18, Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. See the picture of Abraham here is a man who was without hope. That even though God had promised him a son and a nation would come from him, Abraham felt like his time had passed, but he continued to believe. Why? Because he trusted in a God who keeps his promises, and so he was willing to continue to be faithful and to keep his promises. And so it stands to reason that if the Holy Spirit is faithful to His word, and if His fruit is evident in your life, that you also, like God, you will be a person of your word. The Bible tells us to let our yes be yes and our no be no. In reality, breaking a promise is the same as bearing false witness. You know, breaking a commandment. A broken promise really is just a lie that's been told beforehand. When you make a promise and you don't come through, you're just telling a lie beforehand. Think of how disappointed you've been in your life when promises have been broken toward you. Think of the times when you were expecting someone to come through for you and they didn't. And then let me add a couple of words to this word, faithfulness. For example, credibility. You know, people who break promises are not credible. How about the word integrity? A pattern of keeping promises and doing what you say you will do will earn you the reputation of integrity. And integrity in this world is like gold. It's one of the most valuable commodities. It's a character that is sought after by others, but it's becoming very rare. It's in high demand, but low supply. So being a person of integrity is like gold. And the Word of God teaches us also that the faithful receive more. They receive more. In the story that we were told, it's this faithful servant who, when the master comes back to see that everything had been kept the way it should have been kept, who receives more. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, we read, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service." Paul says, "I praise God that God saw me as faithful and gave me a ministry, a service, an opportunity to be responsible before him." And then Matthew chapter 25, we read, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" The promise of Scripture is this, that those who are faithful in the small things in life will be given greater opportunities in life to be faithful. That this is the way it works. Much larger opportunities will be given to you if you are faithful in the small. And the truth be told, the small things really matter. You know, in God's eyes, sometimes I think it's the small things that are the really huge things. See, so when I say that if you're faithful in the small, he'll give you the large, you may be thinking of something completely opposite of what God has in mind. He wants to give you responsibilities to live out your faithfulness in this forum of life so that others can see that he is a faithful God. And he will give you more and more opportunities as you become more and more faithful. Even in the small things, God rewards the faithful. Well, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of faithfulness is the coconut. And let me allow this brief video to help you understand why the coconut is faithful.
This continuing drama of trial and survival is revealed in the Odyssey of the Coconut. Weighing as much as 20 pounds, this remarkable vessel is constructed to withstand journeys of more than 1,000 miles in the open sea. One of the world's largest seeds, the coconut is well equipped for the hardships of aquatic travel. To the coconut's survival lies in its air-filled outer husk. By itself, the edible seed would become waterlogged and sink after only a few days. But when encased in a buoyant, fibrous container, it can remain afloat for more than a year, its embryonic plant protected from the deadly salt water. Conditions are severe, yet the coconut is not only designed to survive the ocean's waves and currents, it can ultimately depend on them to transport life to a distant shore.
So I hope that you are as amazed as I am at God's creativity, that God designed this fruit with a boat to take it so that it could float on the ocean in salt water for as long as a year, or as far as 1,000 miles, to be transported from the tree out of which it fell to a shore somewhere far away, to deliver its seed and to grow and to produce yet more coconuts. That's the way that God designed it. And it is a faithful fruit because it is able to deliver its seed over many, many miles and many, many hardships. The coconut was designed by God to carry its life-giving seed over thousands of miles if need be. And that is faithfulness. I want to talk to our grads for just a minute, and the rest of you can listen in on this. I want to talk to you about faithfulness because I want you to know that what's important in life is not necessarily the accomplishments, not necessarily the paycheck, not necessarily what job you end up with. What really matters in life is, are you faithful? First of all, are you faithful to God? Are you faithful in your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living your life for Him? It may be that you might need to make some decisions that are counterintuitive to what this world says is the way of the world. You know, you may have to say, well, if I'm going to be faithful to God, it may mean that I take this path when the rest of the world is going this way. It might mean taking the narrow road, the road less traveled. That might be what faithfulness is all about. But always be faithful in your relationship to the Lord, and you can never go wrong. Always be faithful in your service to the Lord also, and your service to the church. Continue to be faithful in your attendance to the church and your giving to the church and being a part of the body of Christ, wherever that might be in days to come. Always be faithful. Always be faithful in your relationships with others, whether that's your friends, your family, your future spouse. Choose to be faithful in all of your relationships throughout life, and be faithful in your work. Do what you do that God has called you to do with passion and vigor for God, and do it faithfully. Do it with integrity and with the character that God has placed in you. Be consistent. Keep your promises in this world, and you will find yourself entrusted with more and more and more, perhaps even more than you can handle. God has only created one you. There's only one you, with your talents, your abilities, your personality, your upbringing, your future. There's only one you. And you get one opportunity here in this world to be faithful with what God has given you. I want to challenge you to do just that. To allow the Holy Spirit to have His way to control you so that you are faithful to Him. And God will show you some great things in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you in that way. And your faithfulness will drop from your life like coconuts out of a palm tree. And they will plant the seed of the gospel in the lives of others. You know, faithfulness is at a premium in our day. True faithfulness will get you noticed in this world. If you are a person who makes a promise and then keeps it, people are going to take note of that because they're not used to seeing that in our day and age. If you're a person of your word who comes through, who keeps track of things and does things well, even though nobody's looking, the world will notice. And even if the world doesn't, God sees it. And He's what really matters in the end. True faithfulness will open doors for you, and it will provide you with opportunities. And whatever shore you wash up on in this life, be faithful. Deliver the message of Jesus Christ through your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You and praise You for who You are. Lord, for Your great faithfulness to us. Father, You have said that You love us. And Father, You didn't just say it with words. You've proven it through Your Son, Jesus Christ, through Your grace to us every day. Father, how we praise You that You have been faithful. And Lord, help us never to doubt that faithfulness. Even in the difficult times in life, help us, Lord, to know that You are present there with us, to understand Your faithfulness and to rely and trust in You because of it. But Father, also we pray that You might help us as Your followers to demonstrate that faithfulness in our lives. May Your Holy Spirit take control. May Your Holy Spirit seep through our lives that others will see that faithfulness that comes from You. Father, help us to keep our promises. Help us, Lord, to do our work in such a way that others know that there must be something behind that. Because of the integrity and the character of what we do, may others know that we serve a faithful God. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence here with us today. And we pray, Lord, that You might Continue to speak to us. Help us, Lord, as we walk out into a world of such unfaithfulness, a world of broken promises, a world of broken lives, that you, O Lord, might use us as the givers of fruit, the givers of the seed, that they might see you through us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.